This is chapel for May the 8th, 1962. Mr. Ben Fisher is presiding.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Professor Elmo Scoggin, who is chairman of our chapel committee, came to me and said, I have some bad news for you. Dr. Staley cannot be here for the last chapel service, and you're next on the list. I do wish that Dr. Staley could have been present for this last service, but he's away speaking at Wingate College up near Charlotte. I've been asked to make the following announcement. For the second summer, the National Council of Churches will sponsor about 20 students to engage in an interracial ministry, whereby white divinity students become associate pastors in Negro churches, and Negro divinity students become associate pastors Negro divinity students become will participate in the activities of white churches. Now, the purpose of this announcement is to tell you that in an effort to demonstrate our concern and interest in the work, the faculty and students can aid in its support by making a donation after chapel today. There will be ushers at the door if you care to contribute to this fund. Now, after I have read our scripture lesson for this morning, I'm going to ask Professor Duncan if he would lead us in our morning prayer. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. For love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Dr. Duncan.
Our Father, thou art, our hearts and minds better mercy and forgiveness. And to express our gratitude, even though faultily, even though poorly. Thus we come again in our prayer to praise, to express thanksgiving, and to reiterate our own deep devotion and dedication. We do pray, our Father, that thou wilt forgive us for all that we have done evilly, without forethought, all that we may have done to have hurt thee or our brothers and sisters. May the love which we have for thee and that which thou dost have for us be translated also into love for one another, that we may know continuously that fellowship of believers which is nigh unto heaven itself. We are so grateful for the opportunities which have been ours this year of fellowship and worship together, of study, of commitment of church one to another and thee. We ask that by continuing Christian promise may abide upon us through all the days of care. Bless our seminary in every expression of its life, in every person who participates in that life. But we would not be selfish and pray for ourselves alone. But our minds and hearts go out to the whole our world in sickness and misery. We ask that thou make thyself known and felt through our own intent to men and women around the world. Grant, we pray, that in our time we may see the beginning of that time when men and women will live together in love and in peace. Bless now, we pray, this service of worship. May it be to thy glory and thy praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
May I call your attention to a few verses of Scripture found in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And I should like to speak for just a few moments this morning on this subject, bringing your liberality to Jerusalem. Earlier I read to you this marvelous poem on love. Paul is an amazing person. He can write with profound and compassionate, poetic insight about human needs. In the chapter just before the 16th chapter, he can write with profound theological insight as to the nature and destiny of man. Then he can move swiftly, as he does in the 16th chapter, to deal with a very urgent and practical problem in the church. May I, in these introductory remarks, share with you a personal experience that some of you have heard me tell before. But this is a testimony that I never grow weary of giving. For almost 30 years ago, come this September, on this campus, I came as a freshman. My total capital resources, in addition to a large, heavy, old-fashioned tin trunk, was exactly $7.50. I wanted more than anything in the world to go to college. And I'd been told that the ministerial student would get his tuition and his fees. And I figured that if I had enough faith and would be willing to work, that somehow I could make it. They would let me stay. So I came down and stood in line before the old administration building on a hot, dusty September day. And after waiting my turn for about 2 hours, I came to Mr. Grady Patterson, and then he told me, "You cannot register unless you can produce $32.50. He might as well have asked me for $1,000 because I did not have it. I dropped out of line and went over to the old library, since replaced with this beautiful new building. And I sat there for a moment thinking what I should do. And then I had made up my mind I should probably go back home. A little man came walking through the library, and he walked by me, and he turned and came back, and he said, "Young man, you have a long face for such a beautiful September day. Is there something you'd like to tell me?" And there was. And I told him that I was going to have to go home. Well, now, he said, "We can't allow that, can we?" And so he tore a piece of yellow paper from an old notebook and said, "Please allow Ben Fisher to register and look to me for the payment of his fees." That was Dr. W.R. Cullen. I paid him back the next summer. But I'm fully convinced that that was a turning point in my life and in my ministry because of the sensitivity, the compassion, the insight of Dr. W.R. Cullen. In a forgotten family cemetery, not far from this campus, there is the grave of one who was at one time governor of this state. His family and his friends erected to his memory a beautiful monument. But when I made my way to that grave, I had to fight through the debris of fallen trees and spreading vines. And when I got to where I could make out the name, it was a scene of melancholy and fading memory. I could not help but contrast this with A lady who not long ago sent a substantial gift to the student aid fund of this seminary. And long after she has gone, her work will be doing, her funds will be doing the work of an effective ministry. And therefore, today I want to plead with you as students and, yes, even faculty, to keep in mind that here at the seminary, we do face this practical challenge. For there is not a year that goes by some student, man or woman, is not saved for the Christian ministry because of the liberality of the saints who have brought the offering to Jerusalem. I am making a plain plea for your prayers this summer, and for your personal effort to see that these funds are adequately maintained so that those who need help may get it. There are three reasons that I mention briefly. The need is real, the need is urgent, and the need is valid. The need is real because far more than we realize or are willing to admit, almost every family here is here at a tremendous sacrifice. There is really never enough. This need is real because as a convention, we, I think, have failed more at this point than any other point. If a young man has bright prospects this day for to be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or a corporation executive, or if he wishes to go into business administration and through certain testing will show exceptional talent, the funds seem to be unlimited. And while I believe with all my heart and soul that we are called to the ministry and that God does not owe us, we owe God, and that somehow we're going to be ministers, no matter how hard we may have to live or no matter how difficult the task may become, somehow we're going to carry on God's work. But I do not think that this relieves us from the responsibility of practicing a stewardship in this direction. I want to see churches not only on fire to call out young people to a full-time Christian service to replace the tragically depleted ranks of preachers and missionaries and educational directors and servants of the church. But I want to see churches and laymen and Christian people make this possible by adequate financial support, and I am not appealing for luxury. I am appealing for necessity. The need is real. The need is urgent. And I do not have to labor this point. Many of you have come quietly to Dr. Staley or to Dean Binkley or to Mr. Funk or to my office or to some trusted member of this faculty, and sometimes even in embarrassment you've had to share your plight, and you know that it is urgent. And finally, the need is valid. Not in the sense that we're relating it directly to the physical, but it is valid in the sense that in this 20th century we must carry on and preach the gospel as we've never preached it before. And I can think of no greater tragedy than to lose one single student from this seminary solely for financial reasons. I hope this summer, as you go forth, that you'll remember the Student Aid Fund in your prayers, in your preaching, in your talking with laymen. The need is real and urgent and valid. May we stand. Now may the grace and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.